Thanks for tuning in. I'm Lana. Just real quick, an audio version of this interview is available from redicemembers.com or redice.tv in the 314 section. Joining me from Hungary is Melissa. Say hi, Melissa.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I actually had you on the show. It was already almost a year and a half ago, if you can believe that. I mean,
wow.
A lot's happened since then, and you look great, by the way. You look very different. So what's happened? What's changed?
Yeah, it's amazing that it's been so long. I was very surprised to get an email from you and very excited as well because really so many things have changed and I've learned so much since last year. And I feel like it's a great time to talk about everything that has happened. And I guess overall, I'm a lot more positive and sure of myself. And I'm not that shy as I was when I started making YouTube videos, mostly as an experiment to try and better myself and get over my fear of speaking in public. And so, yeah, I also lost weight, which I guess that's what you're referring to when you say that I look good. But yeah, I lost 45 pounds.
Looks great. Well, you know, I think it's not only just weight, but you can tell when people are more confident or more bold. I mean, you can see it on them, and it makes them more appealing, makes them more attractive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am very grateful for doing YouTube videos, even though I haven't been focusing on that much in the past couple of months. But yeah, it really, really helped me. And I think it's a fantastic outlet for anybody who wants to try and do something new and really learn more about themselves and learn to interact with people. I really suggest making YouTube videos, even if you never get a lot of views. It's definitely a great hobby.
It can be really rough sometimes seeing yourself back. You know, you can cringe and be like, oh my God, I make that move or I sound like that. Or, oh, I mean, it's painful sometimes watching yourself back and critiquing yourself back. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
We're our own worst critic. But that's how you overcome things and that's how you improve yourself. It's a painful process, especially when you're doing it publicly and everyone can comment on things. And it's like, okay, let's put a camera on you for, you know, a lot of your life and see how you change and see your weaknesses and see your strengths. But something about the camera really points those things out, doesn't it?
Yeah, even now I'm nervous, so. But I'm trying not to be.
Yeah, overcoming shyness is really difficult. That's a hard one. I was really shy when I was a little girl, and I know my husband was really shy too. And here we are now, so I guess people do overcome those things.
There's actually a lot of people who are on our side on the alt-right who are more of a quiet, reserved personality. That's something I've noticed. And that's why I think I'm able to get along with a lot of people better. I'm able to have conversations with them because they're these very quiet but genuine people. And that's not something that I see every day. We have a really great gang of people, I think.
Yeah, and I think in general, people more on our side are more introverted and reserved in different ways. Generally, it's always been the left that's kind of been loud and annoying and crazy. You know? So just because we're not loud doesn't mean that we don't exist. We're just, we think about it a little more before we act and we're loud, you know?
Yeah, as it should be, of course. Acting on immediate emotions is never a good idea.
Now, before the show, we were actually live streaming the free speech rally. Mm-hmm. A bunch of alt-right people got together in Washington, D.C. Were you able to see any of that on our feed? I know I sent you the link kind of last minute.
Yeah, I caught like the last second, unfortunately.
Well, it was pretty cool. There's a lot of alt-right people just out there just blatantly talking about, you know, white interests and groups that are working against us and how we should be able to criticize everyone, right? Which is a major breakthrough because as we know in America, there are certain groups that are protected and you can't speak against. So to me, you know, this is true progress. I mean, this is great that they're actually...
Were there any protesters this time?
Yeah, I guess there were a couple, but then, you know, all our guys would get together and tell them, take a shower, or, you know, no commies off our streets, you know, or shame. I mean, it's great. I love seeing all these guys and gals get together like that and just be out in the public, you know.
Yeah, that's good. They're losing their power then, these Antifa groups. doesn't seem like they're going to be violent anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when they know that, hey, these rightists are openly talking about punching back. So maybe we better think about this. You know, it is war after all. I mean, is there really rules in war? I don't know. Mm. Yeah. And then there was a lefty that showed up too, a fake. He was all, "See Kyle," during one of the talks. And it was like, all the press sees them and they run over to him with their cameras right away. That's what they want to capture. It's just all fake, you know.
I really hope that they're not going to try to depict it as a legitimate, like, right person. It seems like it would be quite a see-through charade if they attempted that.
Now, what's going on in Hungary? Give us an update, because Hungary is always praised by a lot of alt-right people. We know a lot of Americans that have moved over there. What's going on with the migrant situation and politics? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, the last time that we talked a year and a half ago, Fidesz, which is the ruling party, they were at the height of their popularity. They could have done pretty much anything and people would have supported them. They did a great thing by building the fence, by deciding to take a hard stance against migration, even though in the beginning they kind of hesitated. They weren't sure if they wanted to make that move. But, you know, their popularity soared. Now, however, it's pretty much shot back down again because there were a number of promises in relation to migration that they weren't able to go through with, mostly because of EU interference. Even right now, there's this constant ongoing battle with the EU over the migrant quotas. I'm not sure if you've been following that much,
yes.
But you know, the EU wants to sanction Hungary and the Czech Republic and Poland because they refuse to take in these migrant quotas. And I'm not sure if, I don't think the verdict has been released yet. I think they're still arguing about it. But a lot of people are losing their hope in the government on this. They're just getting really tired of it. And in the meantime, the other political parties are attacking the government mostly on basis of corruption. That is the main strategy that the other parties use to weaken the government because they can't really hit the government on ideology, especially the right party, Jobbik, which is more right-wing than Fidesz. Ideologically, both of the parties are pretty much the same. You know, they're both anti-immigration, conservative, traditional family values, anti-LGBT. So the only thing that Jobbik can use to differentiate itself from Fidesz is to say that they are anti-corruption. They are not corrupt at all. And it's been an effective strategy, I think, because I think there are some legitimate scandals within the government. And the other parties are using these things to the best of their ability. So in my opinion, although the government tries to hide it, I think they're definitely losing power. And the next election, which is next year, I think they're going to lose their majority, personally. As for migrants,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us, is there a border fence going up? What's happening there? Mm-hmm. Or did it go up?
Well, the official law in Hungary right now is that if a migrant is captured within Hungary, but within a certain, I think maybe 8 kilometer distance of the border fence, they can be captured and taken back to the Serbian side, just, you know, thrown back, basically no questions asked. However, I think asylum seekers are allowed to, you know, hand in their asylum requests at a specific border checkpoints, and the government, you know, officially has to handle these matters. As for the country itself, last year, the situation was absolutely disastrous. I think I touched upon that a year and a half ago when we talked about migrant crisis, but most of the migrants are gone. And I'm not really sure where they went because the camps are closed. So they're not in the camps. And I'm not sure if they disappeared off to Western Europe, if they managed to sneak off, which doesn't really seem likely, or if they were just taken in by Hungary, or if they were just deported and like in a hush-hush way. But I do notice that there's a lot more diversity in Budapest in the past 2 years, which did not exist at all before.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, seriously, it shocked me. Even a year ago, I was just walking around the city. I would see in the 8th District so many kebab shops, like one after the other. I even saw like a halal meat shop, all these Turkish stores, and that did not exist at all 2 years ago. So also, it's interesting bit of news that I sort of like to tell people, but about half a year ago, they found a Wahhabist prayer room in the basement of the kebab shop, and they were harboring illegal refugees. So just to realize that something like that is happening in Budapest is kind of dispiriting. And it makes me wonder, I guess it makes anyone wonder what else might be happening unseen, not just in Budapest, but all across Europe. No.
Now, how did the locals respond when they heard that story?
It didn't make major news. That's the interesting thing. Hmm. And it was only in Hungarian. I didn't see any English language media picking up on it. But it definitely made its rounds around media, and I had a lot of friends who shared it, and they were very, very frightened, actually. Hungarians, they genuinely do not want migrants, especially illegal migrants. Hungarians are very law-abiding people. Unless they're pushed really to their limits, then they can go crazy and have a revolution. But they're very law-abiding people, and in general, they hate anyone who does not follow the law. And to see, for them to see illegal migrants getting such praise and attention in Western Europe for being illegal, for not following the law, that really, really frightens them and it disappoints them. And they really don't want that to happen here in Hungary.
Now, how loud are they? I mean, we've seen some footage in Poland with protests. And what about Hungary? Are they protesting any of this?
Yeah, there are protests. Mostly the protests in Hungary are connected to national holidays. So what Hungarians do is they try to make patriotic protests instead. They don't want the protests to come across as very negative or very frightening to regular people, because Hungarians are trying to promote patriotism in a positive way. So yeah, there are definitely anti-immigrant elements, but they make that seem as like a natural part of patriotism and traditionalism. And also they protest the LGBT, the CEU university. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that story. Mm-hmm. It was quite big in Hungary. It still is. George Soros University is getting attacked in Hungary by the government. They're trying to ban it and get rid of it, which I support, but a lot of people don't. That's another major source of protest. And right now there's a gay pride parade coming up in Budapest, I believe, in 2 weeks. And that's been the main focus right now of these patriotic groups and the nationalist groups in Hungary. They're making the rounds on Facebook, writing lots of articles about how they would like to stop it and about the need to promote traditional values instead. So Hungary is still very conservative.
Especially LGBT compared to Western pride. Europe. Yeah, definitely.
I know that's exactly what I meant to say, is that even last year's Pride Parade is so tame. You know, there's footage of it on YouTube, and it's just so tame compared to what you see in other countries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just some people wearing colorful clothing, wearing, you know, holding some signs, and they just walk around and listen to some music, and that's it. They don't really dare do anything else in Budapest.
In San Francisco, they're just literally having sex on the streets during Pride, you know? God.
Yeah, jeez. Wearing like leather masks and bringing children
the ball
into
in
it.
The mouth. And yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Now, how radical is Viktor Orban? I mean, we hear him talk against Islam all the time. He said some great things in defense of Europe and against mass immigration. But how radical Is he really against immigration, like massive immigration?
I believe that he is a sincere politician, and I've read a lot of his speeches, and I think the problem is that people, not everyone in his party, agrees with him, and there are some harmful characters in his party, which take away too much attention from Orban himself. But I believe that he is definitely a very sincere person. And he's not just talking about values. He really lives what he speaks. He's a very, you know, upstanding family man with 5 children. He's been married for a very long time. His children as well are very, very lovely Christian kids. And yeah, so he's a good role model in my opinion, but he's been losing power recently because of these corruption scandals. I see now there's footage of the George Soros University shutdown clash.
Now, what kind of corruption are we talking about? You've mentioned corruption scandals. What kind of things?
Anything that it's just general stealing. You know, the government steals the money of people, and the government had some projects that didn't work out. Stadium building and hospitals, and mostly it's not even Orban. It's the thing is that Orban, he cannot really be attacked because he's an incorruptible person. In my opinion, it's the other members of his party, the lesser known members of his party, that are getting really, really heavily attacked. And I think that is causing some infighting behind the scenes as well. But yeah, it's like these very basic attacks that the government is stealing, and they're not using taxpayer money efficiently. They're not using it efficiently on hospitals, on roads, and infrastructure. Instead, they're sort of, you know, spreading it around on frivolous things.
What? And government? Wasteful spending in government? Shocking.
No way.
God.
Yeah. But it really affects Hungarian people. I mean,
they should be irritated about that. Yeah.
It does persuade them very effectively. Mostly because Hungary, I don't know if Hungary is like a victim complex, but Hungary, because of its past, is not as rich, obviously, as Western Europe. And a lot of Hungarians have been emigrating to Western Europe. The UK, for example, has hundreds of thousands of Hungarians.
Oh, no.
I think, yeah, London, it has a population of maybe over 100,000 Hungarians who work there, and it's not really good for the country. And colleges now, young people, especially in the liberal colleges, they're kind of being pushed almost to leave the country, and they're getting a lot of negative information. Or they're told that you can't really live and be successful in Hungary. You have to go west if you want to have a good life.
Oh, great. And so they're taking some of the conservative people, and then they poison their mind once they, you know, move to Western Europe and go to these universities. And to me, in my view, going around Eastern Europe and thinking in terms of Hungary, it's better to be in a country that doesn't have a lot of wealth. because then you're not having so many migrants that want to come there, and so many people that want to mass migrate there for a lot of the lucrative welfare systems, right? I mean, do you guys have a pretty lucrative welfare system, or...?
No.
See, and that's a good thing, actually. Those would be the countries you'd want to live in, because then the migrants wouldn't want to come stay there.
You cannot live on welfare here. You'd be starving, pretty much. You have to work. You have to do something productive and constructive if you want to live in Hungary. And the funny thing is that last year, sometimes I would talk to the migrants that I saw in my town, and one of them, he was actually complaining to me about only getting 300 euros a month from the government. And that was just sort of cash, you know, that you got to spend on whatever. He got free housing and medical attention. He was like, €300. That's not enough. I want to go to Sweden. And he actually told me in broken English this very hilarious story about how he actually managed to reach Sweden. He snuck off to Sweden, but he was caught at the border, and the Swedish police brought him back to Hungary because he had been fingerprinted in Hungary.
I'm so surprised really they didn't take him in. Surprised they didn't take him in and say, hey, we'll give you more money. Oh, you're only getting 300? Yeah. Poor baby. Come here. We'll give you six, you know.
600 more like, yeah. I don't know, 1,000.
Oh, yeah, that's so irritating. You see footage of them and they're complaining and they're measuring up which country is giving them more gibs. And I mean, it's obvious. They're economic migrants. These are not men fleeing from war. They're all men. Now, when you talk about the diversity in Budapest, is it mostly male? Is it Islamic? Is it Asian? Is it African? What is it that you're seeing there?
It's African, I would say. It's 50-50, I would say, African and Islamic. As for the Islamic half, I would say it's more like 80% male. And almost all of the female Islamic migrants that I've seen, they all have children. All of them are pushed in baby carriages. Of course, you know, just by looking at them, it's difficult to tell if they are legal migrants or if they're illegal. But the ones that are scrawny looking males, it's probably illegal. And they're primarily in the 8th district because that used to be the poorer area of Budapest. And there's a lot of old rundown apartment buildings there. There's also like a migrant shelter there, so that's where they like to gather. Yeah, that's pretty much the situation.
Now, talking about these quotas, what do you know about these quotas that are being forced on Hungary and other Eastern European countries? Do you know what it even entails? Do you take in this many or else what?
Well, that's the question. Like, what is the sanction going to be? Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be some sort of money sanction. Hungary is not going to get as many EU funds, in my opinion, or they're going to be forced to pay a very large sum of money for each migrant that they refuse to take. So I think is one of those two things. I've been hearing those two versions for quite a while, and this quota battle has been ongoing for over a year. When the EU invented it, I think that was about the last time that we talked over a year ago, when they had come up with the plan to spread all the migrants around Europe as the ultimate solution instead of just sending them back.
Now, there was an article I saw recently, six Eastern European countries are pledging military cooperation. They want to fight back against these quotas in the EU. Let's see, what were the countries? Czech, Austrian, Croatian, Slovak, Slovenian, and Hungarian. They're basically doing a joint action plan to fight against some of these quotas that the EU is enforcing and to have their own immigration policy, what they want. They're believing in nationalism. They don't want EU power. Have you heard about any of this?
I haven't heard about this particular article, but for the Visegrad group, which is Hungary, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, and Poland, it's been a group that's been around for 25 years, I think, and it only became very strong recently with the migrant crisis. And they also have military cooperation going on. Police and army members from various countries have been traveling to the Hungarian border to help guard it. And I've known that the Visegrad group has been courting Austria, Slovenia, and Croatia for help to see if maybe they could form a larger united group in some way. And I'm really curious. I'm excited to see what might happen in the future with this. Although a lot of the more serious analysts don't really think this unity is going to come about. They don't really think that Central and Eastern Europe is strong enough to form a group powerful enough to take on the EU and Western Europe.
But, why is that? Why are they not strong enough? Why are they not as rich? What is the problem? What needs to change? you know, Eastern Europe, Hungary. Everyone always says, you know, Western Europe's more powerful, they're richer mm-hmm. than Nordic countries. What's gone wrong? Is it because of years of communism in the Middle East, in the East? I mean, have they not been able to pull themselves up? I mean, what's happened there?
It's not just communism, but it's centuries and centuries of war. Europe, Eastern and Central Europe, faced constant wars with the Ottoman Empire. Here in Hungary, in my town, we have beautiful, beautiful city center and churches and castles that were destroyed repeatedly over the centuries and had to be rebuilt again and again. And this left its mark, and it still leaves its mark to this day. And that's why Central and Eastern Europe is still poorer than Western Europe, which never had to face Islamic conquest. And and then of course communism, which I don't even really need to describe. I think even my grandmother, she was born in 1920. Her husband died in 1945. He was killed in combat, and she was left alone with three small children. And her land was confiscated, and the factory that her husband owned, that was also confiscated, and she was left with absolutely nothing. And she had to move back to her village and try to rebuild her life. But she did live a wonderful life. So I don't know. This is just the first thing that came to mind in reference to communism. But this is what Hungarians had to face. They really had to face all of their worldly belongings just being taken from them. They cannot build up a strong foundation, a financial foundation for their children. Although I think, as with all really bad things, there did come good things. And this allowed families and family bonds to become really, really strong. Because Hungarians, they had really nothing left, just their families. So that's what they focus primarily on survival.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's the work ethic is different. I mean, Germany mm-hmm. was bombed to bits, but they were able to pull themselves up. I mean, it's mm-hmm. miraculous how they were able to become a powerhouse again, yeah. one of the richest countries in the world, you know, when they were bombed to smithereens. But I guess when it comes to Eastern Europe, me being Eastern European myself and, you mm-hmm. know, Hungarians, they value family, I think, more, and culture and tradition more than a work ethic. I think they don't work as long and as hard and as often as maybe mm-hmm. some of the Swedes and the Germanics. I mean, this just goes to prove that there's differences in different ethnicities, right? You know, some countries, they work hard and long hours and they're more industrious. And then the other Eastern European countries are more laid back in different ways. They enjoy different things. Yeah. It's like French people. They like to have a lot of wine and cheese and not work a lot. You know, there's differences.
Or if you consider Spain and, you know, Southern Italy, that's even more laid back.
Yeah.
You know, with the siesta time, which doesn't exist in Northern or Central Europe.
No, no, they definitely don't have that. Oh, geez. Now, are they as nihilistic, a lot of the young people in Hungary, as they are in America?
Yes.
Really?
I would say, yeah, absolutely. I touched upon before the college situation, how young Hungarians are being told that Hungary is a bad place. You cannot be successful here. Hungary is a country that has a terrible history because all we did was lose wars. We were constantly fighting and we were always being conquered. And it was just very depressing to hear that. And that's why a lot of Hungarians move west. But yeah, nihilism. Hungarians are pessimistic people. They really, really are.
Well, I wonder who is teaching them these things. Who is it in the school system mm-hmm. that's actually, you know, is there some worm tongue there that's, you know, poisoning the minds of the youth there in the school, or what's happened?
I would say mostly it's the youth wings of the political groups, especially the liberal groups. And also if students are attending a more liberal college, then they're being fed this information. I would say some professors also are telling them, at least I definitely had two professors of mine who told me that my degree I'm not really going to be able to do much with my degree. This is just so I can prove to an employer that I'm capable of completing something that takes a bit more time, that I have a basic level of patience, you know? So, and they're like, you could do office work with this degree. I have a degree in English, by the way, English language studies. And, you know, you could do some writing and translation, but don't really expect much from it. You should go to Western Europe and you might do something better there.
Ugh, that's awful. I'm telling you to leave your home, basically. Don't fight for Hungary. It's almost like someone from within wants to destroy it by telling all these youths, right, all the young people, like, go to Western Europe. Go get programmed over there by cultural Marxism. It'll be better for you. Jeez.
They don't just want Hungarians to go there to Western Europe for ideological reasons, but because they need cheap labor.
That's right.
Traditionally, you know, before the migrants came in, it was all Eastern and Central Europeans who were flocking to Western Europe to work for cheap. Now they're demanding more money. I have many, many friends who go to Germany to work, and they're complaining actually about the wages. They want higher wages. They want better working standards, better conditions. And a lot of employers are preferring to just, you know, get migrants.
And this cycle is going to
even cheaper.
Yeah, and this cycle is always going to continue. Then the migrants that are there that come in and be like, oh, I want more money. And then they'll just keep bringing in new ones and new ones. And that's why these capitalists, they're fine with just opening the doors because there's just billions of people there that can like come in and be cheap labor, right? But eventually it's all going to level out and it's just going to be the same price everywhere, which is going to be really expensive.
I know it's very disheartening because if you look in London at the job listings, you'll see endless listings for like less qualified, like manual labor jobs, all for Eastern Central Europeans or people of immigrant backgrounds.
Yeah, I always wonder too, why isn't there more factories in Europe, in Hungary and Russia and the Eastern European countries, even Sweden? I mean, there's great companies making things there, but there's not a lot of factories there because it's so damn expensive to do anything because the government makes it so difficult. But I don't know, maybe Eastern Europe is better. Maybe there should be some, you know, rich Europeans from Western Europe that go and like start businesses in Eastern Europe. Maybe it's easier to do that. I don't know. Is it easy to start a business in Hungary?
Well, that is happening. There have been a lot of great factories, major international factories, especially cars, like Audi, coming here and very, very successful. And I think Hungary is also exemplary when it comes to IT jobs. The wages here that you can get for being a really good IT person is pretty much as you would get in Western Europe. Could make a very good living off of that here in Budapest. And I think business is booming actually in Hungary because it has been getting so much attention from tourists. The tourism has exploded in the past 2 years since the migrant crisis. And I think last year there was a 17% increase in tourism in 1 year. And That's fantastic, and I actually visibly see it on the streets. I see massive tour groups that I did not see at all when I had moved to Budapest in 2009. It was very different, much quieter city. You could stroll around not on the main boulevards and not see huge groups of Japanese tourists taking photos of everything. But now it's everywhere, and of course, it's a good thing because I can see that it's bringing in a lot of money and there's so many great little shops that are cropping up.
It tells you cafes. That these tourists are coming there because they actually want to see Europeans. They want to see white people in Europe. They want to see what European culture is. They don't want to go to Paris and see a bunch of Africans hanging out by the Eiffel Tower, you know, hitting them up for money and possibly raping them and mugging them, you know. It's funny.
I know, it makes me feel really happy seeing the tourists in Budapest and they're visibly really amazed and they're really happy to be there. And it's a great place to be. I definitely suggest you visit sometime.
Yeah, definitely. But I have to. So let's talk about the women there, Hungarian women. What are they like? Are they more traditional, more liberal, feminist? What's going on?
Mm-hmm. I would say women in general are more traditional and conservative. Even in Budapest, the largest city with the biggest nightlife. But here where I live, which is about 140 kilometers away from Budapest, you know, people who I work with, young girls in their 20s, they're all interested in having families. They all have relationships, very normal, traditional relationships. They view casual sex as a very bad thing. They have good morals. They're very close to their families. But I see like a little bit of conflict with them because they've definitely been infected by the modern Western culture and by American TV shows like Sex in the City and all that. So it's like they see this marketed on TV and they don't really know if that's good, if that's what they should aspire towards. So I see a lot of conflict and I hope that it won't affect Hungarians too much. But as for Budapest, Hungarians themselves, yes, they're more conservative, but the city has been getting very liberal. There's lots and lots of stag parties and bachelorette parties in the city, and they cause a huge ruckus. And the younger tourists, they're all going clubbing. There's lots of Brits, for example, and you know they're obviously famous for being extremely noisy and loud and rude. So, yeah. Hungarians interact with these people and it causes some conflicts ideologically, I mean.
Oh, of course. One good thing too about Hungary, I know some Americans that have moved over there, they actually have right of return. I just did a video about this called Go Back to Europe, and there's some European countries, because I remember the first time I had you on, we were talking about this very theme because you spent time in America and you actually went back to Europe, and there is kind of a trend of that happening. But Hungary actually offers right of return, right? So if you can prove some ancestry in Hungary, you can actually apply for immigration and get in, and some people are starting to do that. I've heard from some people actually in Hungary, and they're stoked that they did it. They love it there. Now, is that the way that you went back there, or were you actually born in Hungary? I can't remember.
No, I was born in the United States, but my parents, they're Hungarian immigrants. So it was quite easy for me to move back. And I moved back here when I was 15 years old. My parents decided that they really wanted to come back. My father, you know, to be completely honest, it's not really the happiest story, but my father, he was very, very sick. He was going to die. He had terminal cancer in the lung. And the doctors gave him about a year to live. So he was like, you know, I really want to go back to my homeland because I want to die there, and also because all of our family, all of my cousins live here in Hungary. They all stayed here in the western area of Hungary, and they're very wonderful, traditional people, very close to each other. And he felt that we would feel a lot better here because in the United States, it was just me and my mother. I don't have any siblings, so...
Yeah, besides, and, you know, it's all going to hell in America anyway. It's only getting worse. Yeah. It's only getting more diverse and becoming a third world country in so many of the major cities. You know, they're literally like chasing down the last white people here right now. Now they're sending refugees into white pockets like Idaho and Montana. Mm. And it's just, it's ridiculous. Like little podunk towns, they're bringing refugees in there.
I know. And I heard about like some crimes that were actually happening in weird places like Montana and Idaho where refugees would attack girls. Like,
which is unheard of. Doing there? It's like cowboys and potato farmers and mountain men, and not anymore. They're trying to change all of that. It's just amazing.
You know, one of the scariest stories or one of the scariest things that ever happened to me here in Hungary, I was walking on the main street, and it was kind of in maybe 9 p.m. and there was a Somalian guy who just ran up to me, and I could tell he was a Somalian because they do have this characteristic.
They have a look.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have a look. And I was like, oh my God, what does this guy want from me? And he spoke in very broken English. And he said that he was looking for a bathroom, which is good. You know, it's good that he's looking for a bathroom.
That's so somewhat progress from last time when you were on here saying they were literally pooping in the streets. So, yeah.
And I was like, well, there's a bathroom in the McDonald's, you know, go there, but you have to pay. And he's like, I don't have anything. I don't have any money. I lost everything because I've been walking from Serbia. I'm like, oh, my God.
Not my problem, buddy.
Yeah. And then he said, I need somebody who speaks Arabic. I'm like, well, sorry, I can't help you. I don't think there's anybody
Go to a country where they speak Arabic then, buddy.
Maybe if you go back home. Yeah, exactly. I didn't say that to him, but that's what I was thinking.
I like, would. I don't think I I wouldn't be as nice.
And then he just ran off into the distance. It was kind of scary because once again, here in my town, you know, you're walking around and you think you're completely safe. And then you have people like this running around and you don't know who he is or what he wants or where he's going. He's this guy who has absolutely nothing and he's just running loose.
He literally doesn't have a toilet to poop in, you know? I mean, it's just like, I mean, no white guy Hungarian guy would be coming up to you begging for change so he can go do number two in McDonald's, you know? It's just like, what is happening here? Like, just deport these people.
That was one of the freakiest things that ever happened.
God, jeez. Yeah. Send them back. Now, do you have SJWs in Hungary, too, who yell, you know, racism, anti-Semite, all that garbage? Do you have any level of that there? Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
No, they don't go out onto the streets. They're not that brave to do that. Some of them do protest, but the protests are very weak. They're not very vicious or aggressive. It's just a bunch of people who go out on the street and do a little walk, and then they go back home. They're really not frightening, and I think they know that they don't have any chance of making any political change or advancing their views in that manner, so they don't even try. They're mostly active on the internet, I think.
Yeah.
Well, which is good.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you a little bit about self-improvement. That's been a big theme for you in your life in the last year. So what does that mean? What are we talking about when we talk about self-improvement? I know a lot of people in the alt-right have been talking about this theme. So why is it important to you? What does it mean?
I think it's of primary importance to the alt-right right now. We need to have not just articles or focus on the outrageous things happening in our culture and generating a lot of anger and shock in our readers. But we need to have an outlet, like a positive outlet for them that inspires them as well and helps them form communities, local communities. And I got this idea after reading a number of comments on various articles of an alt-right theme. And one of the articles was about migrant crime. And there's a person in the comment section and he wrote something along the lines of, I am just too tired to feel outrage anymore. There's been so many terrible things happening. And I want to know what to do, where to go beyond this. Like, what is after this outrage? What can I do? How can I actually progress? And that really made me realize that a lot of people who follow the alt-right, they look up to the alt-right. They want to be inspired. They want this movement to help them personally, on a personal level. And that's why I think it's really important for us to give them a sound ideology as well, and to make them feel like they're part of a real positive community that's making real change around the world. So
exactly. Yeah. And it starts by finding each other in real life, but also, like you said, positive, constructive things, fitness, appearance, attitude, spiritual connection, you know, folk, having groups, having a brotherhood, a sisterhood, meeting in real life so you can be there for each other. That's where the magical synergy happens. And then from there, then we can start talking about real change. And that's why I was pleased today to see, you know, the guys out on the streets there in Washington, D.C. saying these things with a bullhorn. And that's good because it's letting other people know it's okay to think like this. There's other people who think like this. And if you want to come out and tell people that you think like this, there's a whole group that's going to accept you and take you in. And, you know, here's what we think. Come join the club. But you're right. We do need more positivity, more inspiration, more passion. We have to remind people what they're fighting for because it can become so down and out, and people just, you get downtrodden in your daily experiences, whether it's diversity or these white anti-whites or taxes or just trying to support your family. Life is hard. So people don't want to hear on top of that a lot of doom and gloom. But unfortunately, we have to look at some of that in order to, you know, fight. But how do you do that? Through inspiration. You can't just be preaching at people and be depressing all the time either, right?
Yeah, there's like a balanced mix of knowing your enemies and knowing what you're up against and having the tools to prepare for that eventual conflict. But the thing I love the most about the alt-right is that every single person in the alt-right is focused on making themselves better, on bettering themselves. They're genuine people who understand their mistakes, and they're always focused on helping each other. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's about improving ourselves. A lot of us look at Europeans or whites as a race, and it's sad what we've become and what we've fallen to. And we don't want to be like that. We want to fight against that. We want to inspire some kind of greatness again. We want to make Europeans great again, because they've become just in such a sad, awful state. And you're right. I think the alt-right is definitely part of that, you know, changing people's lives. And that's what we want to do. And the left doesn't offer a life-changing experience anymore, do they? It's just, it's really depressing and nihilistic, and every day is a battle and a power struggle. I mean, do they have anything to offer versus us?
Dye your hair purple and, you know, fat positivity, pretty much.
No, I used to dye my hair all kinds of colors. You know, I was in a band. I, you know, did all that stuff when I was younger. Do you regret the tats? Do you regret getting tattoos?
I get asked that question a lot. If I had to make a choice about getting tattoos now, I wouldn't get any tattoos. Yeah. But I accept them because they're part of who I am. They remind me of things that I believed in, of the journey that I've been on so far. So
that's right. Yeah. We all have a story. We all got here somewhere. We weren't just born knowing all these things, you know. Some of us, you know, you make mistakes in life. That's how you learn, and that's how you end up where you are, and that's okay. Shouldn't beat ourselves up about those things.
Yeah, an important thing that exactly is that acknowledge your mistakes, be humble about them, accept them, maybe grieve over them, but understand that you didn't make those mistakes out of evil motives. You were maybe naive. You didn't pay attention,
or just sheer propaganda and manipulation.
Yeah.
a lot of us probably didn't even live our own lives in our 20s. We're just a product of propaganda, right?
Exactly. And so it's accept when you are at fault. Genuinely apologize, grieve over it, but then move on.
Yeah, you can always change. You can always change and make things better. You're never too old, never too young. You can always improve starting now, you know. That's why it's great. I'm encouraging a lot of young people in the alt-right. So they'll be, you know, wise beyond their years. And I hope that it holds for a long time. I hope that some of these young kids aren't rebelling. And then when they're 25, they don't decide, actually, I'm going to marry a migrant and vote for communism now. You know, I hope that doesn't happen, but.
No, actually, now the rebellion is going to be, I'm going to be completely normal and be in a great marriage and have children and be a wonderful wife or a husband.
So
that's what rebellion is.
Sad that that's what it's become. Yeah, and we have to rebel, revolt against this modern world, because the modern world is death, basically. It's death. That's where it's heading. Mm-hmm. You know, the death of our people, our culture, our nation. So it's our duty to revolt against these current systems, for sure.
Well, it's a celebration of self. And that's it. Like nothing else. It's just celebrating yourself and not focusing on anything beyond that, on the future, on the past. It's just yourself.
Yeah, very selfish. And I think You know, for me, I was isolated a long time. I know a lot of other people are isolated from groups. You know, you kind of get into that libertarian thing in America too, mm-hmm. and individualism, hyper-individualism, and it actually, you know, cheats you out of a lot of things. There is a power in being part of a group, and that group can actually get things done. And I think that the alt-right is forming that group that can get things done. We're in the early stages, and it's going to become other things, but it's heading in a good place in America. And I think that you have identitarian movements in Europe. I have a lot of hope for the nationalists in Europe, too. So do you have hope for things in Europe, or do you think it's heading somewhere really dark before light?
Well, for the identitarian groups, I think... there are some in Hungary, but they aren't that influential as they are in Austria or as they were in France. But I think what is going to happen, or ideally what should happen, is that the alt-right and these identitarian groups should sort of melt together. And they should just become one, because that would give the alt-right a huge boost. And yeah, but...
Big picture, big picture, yeah. Europe. I mean, is it doom and gloom, or are we going to rise out of these ashes? What's going to happen? Oh, I wish I had a crystal ball. I know, like you said, Hungary, you know, European country. We've been through war. We've been through invasion before. This is part of history, part of humanity. What do you think is going to happen for Europe? Can we reverse what's happening? Can we win?
I'm pessimistic about Western Europe when it comes to France and... England and London. I don't know. I think those countries are going to become this multicultural society. Italy right now is bearing the brunt of the migrant crisis. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of migrants that are entering its shores every few days, and they're not really doing anything to stop them. There's these migrant aid boats that are just collecting the migrants and taking them off to Italy. And the funny thing is that Libya is the one that's really complaining against this. They're the ones who are complaining about the migrant rescue boats, because they're saying that this is just increasing the number of people smugglers in Libya. And it's just increasing the number of migrants and crime and rape and slavery in Libya. And there's just Italy and the rescue boats, they're drawing all these migrants towards them.
Yeah, and Gaddafi warned about that, right? And then we came in there and we killed him. You know, Assad's warning about it, and they want to come in there and kill him too. So, I mean, ultimately, it's a problem with we have tribalists from within that are working against us, and we have our own white anti-whites and... people in positions of power, and a lot of our boys, because it's going to be up to the guys to figure out and problem solve how to deal with this, are going to have to strike at the root. And if it might even take having a coup in some of these countries, but I don't think it's going to necessarily happen through voting anymore. So
no, you cannot vote your way out of this. Remember last year, the primary focus of the alt-right and nationalist groups was to get Donald Trump into the presidency. That's what we were all focused on. We had the great meme wars on Twitter and on social media, and wonderful times. But now people are realizing that, you know, Donald Trump, even if he is sincere, he cannot do it on his own. Politicians just don't have the power to make that kind of change. It's really going to be about people, regular people waking up over the years and the culture changing, and enough people just, you know, putting their feet down and saying, you know, enough is enough. I want change. I want real change.
And we have a leftist problem, so maybe we can choose a country where all those leftists can go in Europe. They can all leave there, and then we'll just like keep a huge chunk of Europe for people like us. You know, anything's possible. Yeah. I think anything can be reversed. That, you know, history is unpredictable. A lot of things can happen, but it's time that our side win. And I think people are starting to figure out that maybe the right has been playing a little too nice. You know, maybe it's going to be time to, you know, get a little messy here in the future, because these lefties, they don't care about rules. They don't care about fairness. They don't care about hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. They just want to win. And it's time that we start playing like we just want to win, too. And I think that that's going to start coming out. I see it happening. I hear people talking like that. Actually, they were talking like that today in the streets of Washington, D.C. So maybe it's a primer of things to come, you know.
I got to watch the recording of that. But yeah, I mean, the primary battle is going to be battle for the minds of people. And it's going to be done by people like us, you know, just doing what we're doing, educating others, or just trying to make them see what's really going on in the world, and that liberalism is not helping the situation, to make them see the fault of their ways. And yeah, it's a cultural battle. It's not a battle that's going to be won by politicians.
That's right. We gotta
not yet, at least.
Gotta organize. We gotta work harder. We have to pull together more resources. Basically, we have a lot of work to do. It can't be time to be selfish. We have to really pull together and get some stuff done. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure connecting with you again. I can't believe it's been that long, and I hope to meet you in person in Hungary soon. I think that would be fun.
Yes. Come on, you have to come. It's so cheap here. You know, you could have beer for like, well, I'm not sure if you drink beer, but you could have a really wonderful dinner for like really cheap compared to the US or Sweden.
Well, that's so great.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah, because it's expensive, exactly, in Sweden. I think we went out one night and a tiny martini. This was years ago. It was like $15. It's like,
it's insane.
It was like water in there, you know. Jeez. Well, also tell people about your YouTube channel and anything else that you have going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been focusing on my YouTube channel that much recently, but I would like to change it. I would like to get more professional equipment. That's definitely what I'm going to buy next. And also, my old YouTube videos were about political commentary, commenting on various scandals, social justice warriors, feminism. And I would like to try a more positive approach. I really would like to work more on self-improvement and on helping people and on making a more positive impact rather than just commenting sarcastically on various things. So
it's good. Yeah. We got to mix it up. We got to hit it from every single angle. And I know a lot of girls in particular, they do respond to more positive content. You know, you kind of draw them in that way. Cool. All right. Well, we'll have you back again in the future sometime. So thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
And if you don't already know, don't miss our live TV show called Weekend Warrior, available every Saturday to members at redicemembers.com. And of course, check out our jam-packed archives full of radio shows, TV segments, and videos. It's all happening at redicemembers.com. That's it for now. Have a great night.